If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
If you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription, and then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm feeling it or something.
I come from honest working class stock. Can't stop staring pictures of Hunter Biden's cock.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
There you go. We'll just continue that.
Nice.
It's fine. Good. I actually good just idea. Said, I told you that I couldn't think of a rhyme for Hunter Biden's cock, and it came to me during the theme song. That's the beam magic.
Nice.
Oh my God, pardon me. That was terrible. Yeah, I don't know if you want to stick with that. I don't know. We got Alex is here temporarily. Borzoi is here. We're gonna have dueling dad babysitters trying to wrangle children and do a show. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it's gonna be chaos.
here's my challenge to the commenters. Let's have a Oliver Anthony limerick off in the comments. Write your own. And the trick is you got to do one thing about being a poor working class blue collar white American out in the country, and then the second one has to be like a total shill Republican talking.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
That's how you do it. So first line, that's what it is. Yeah. So there you go. And now let's see what kind of stuff you guys come up with.
It's been kind of interesting.
It's been interesting
how concentrated and cordoned off from the rest of the world the so-called controversy is. It's very small. It's just like
people don't know about it. Like
you, no one cares. Like
you're saying you went to look at Bo.
Bo hasn't said anything. Yeah.
Bo has no take.
I am dying. I'm dying for a Bo take on this. Bo has takes
I've
on
got
so
an
many things.
I took a risk here. I almost ended my relationship with my brother because we were talking about Oliver Anthony.
Yeah.
I was like, have you heard of this guy? And he says, oh, that guy. It's a good song. So I immediately knew I was on thin ice, you know.
You're on thin ice because you
so what I said.
Agility of the working class white man knows no bounds.
Well, listen, we're four unemployed men on this show, so I don't know. I don't know what you're looking for working class stuff for. Like the whole goal of the working class is to not be working class. Sorry.
The whole goal
achievement unlocked. We're not working class anymore. So we don't have to work.
So what I did is I took a chance here. I said, "Oh, he's a poser from Farmville getting astroturfed by a social media company, literally an industry plant." My brother's reply was, "That's interesting and somehow not surprising."
Ha.
Wait. Wow, I can't believe he could take that savage bands from you.
He took it.
He didn't. He's not like. So wait, he's really driving. He's driving to your house right now, gun in hand, like polishing it.
Yeah,
it will end you.
Definitely some kind of gun that is definitely associated with blue collar working class white people. The type of gun that is usually associated.
A high
with
point.
Them. I wouldn't know what that is because I'm an urbanite.
He just that looks down. He on took me. My cynical comments and just integrated that into his worldview.
Well, let's be honest though. You've known this guy your whole life, and he probably has taken cynical comments from you for decades.
Well, he's a cynic himself.
Well, the thing
so
about
it's very easy for him to just automatically believe a lot of
well,
people.
Well, if he's a cynic, then he's definitely not a blue collar working class white person because they're naive and fragile.
Well, no, no, you don't understand, Mike. What the working class white American is,
they don't know anything.
There is they're
they
already
shielded. From
no,
all
what
truth.
Happens, Alex? That your brother's already a Nazi. You just talked him out of being one. That's how this works. All the entire working class.
I don't think his brother is.
No, this is the bit though. Like they're all like this is what like the people that are obsessed with the Oliver Aldean, whatever the fuck his name is. They're like all these people that like the song. They're Nazis, and if you make fun of their song, you've just talked them out of being Nazis. That's sort of like where people are coming
it was
from.
The song was like secretly making people Nazis, but they didn't know it.
No. It's all everyone's Nazism is secret. And when we say, hey, that's bullshit, now no one's Nazis anymore. Because you did a bad job selling. Like, you told them you saw through their ruse, and now they're not Nazis anymore. They were, but you fucked it up.
So their Nazism is, like, highly contingent. It's, like, very fickle Nazism.
No, it's only because it's only you. You're just, like, poison.
Oh. Mm.
There, see, Americans, all working class Americans are Nazis. Is it like Schrodinger's Nazis? Like, you just opened the box, and now they're not Nazis because you looked at them. Right?
I got a complaint about this style of content that we're doing right now, last night.
Okay.
Oh, no.
The complaint was, can you talk about something else?
No, stop liking gay up. People who say that...
No. That's not what... It wasn't that.
Oh.
The person got the message. They were like, I get it. Can we
okay.
Move on to the topic?
Yeah, that's novel.
And I was like, yeah.
You don't want to revel.
I was like, but see, the thing is, it annoys me so much.
Also, just like, I want to revel. Separating. I want to revel in how, like,
well,
like threadbare, like, their gay ups are. Like, they're so bad. It's funny.
Well, that's actually the thing.
It's entertaining
like,
to me.
Thing. When you, and again, we're not really talking to anyone in our audience here, but when you stop with the working class white people are super fragile, you can't ever say anything against this or that, or they're going to do this or that, they're going to have these, this is something we've been struggling with for a long time with like theory cells about politics, is this idea
it goes further
that like the
that.
Normie white or the normie conservative, the normie con, the white person, the person that needs skids greased or whatever, like is like this skittish forest animal that hears like a rustling in the leaves and like darts off into the trees because he can't like deal with even the smallest. It's like this is how the so-called normie conservative or the on the fence like this is how this person is thought of by these online amateur political theory cells. And I'm like, it's just, do you know a person like Alex's brother, like, cuts down trees and goes to the honky-tonk at the blue-collar bar and hangs out with the...
He does?
And he's like, oh, all right. Yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. He's
the tree removal guy. That's why I asked him. And Alex... like, he's blue-collar.
Alex does, like, podcasts, and he goes to, like, the fat people fucking, like, public park and hangs around with mulattoes with diabetes. So I guess his brother's more base than him.
Oh, his brother's way more base.
He's going to the honky-tonk.
He's also, like, less of a Nazi. So
that was actually my favorite comment on the whole Oliver Anthony thing is, well, this guy's making fun of fat people to go to Walmart. I mean, that's kind of fucked up. He's going to alienate those people.
He's going to alienate white people.
That's a big group of people right there. Fat people that go to Walmart and eat fudge rounds, that's a whole lot of people.
The concern about the working class goes way back. Basically, if you have a thing that we're doing to become successful, you're going to start hearing that because that's just sort of one of the gay ops. I remember that coming from like TWP people and stuff back in the day. It's like, hey, 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 your group doesn't suck as much as ours. You're not in the working class. There's something like it was a really weird thing.
If you're under a certain age and above a certain IQ and you live in America, you were predisposed to be extremely cynical. So if someone tells you that Oliver Anthony is an industry plant, and he's being astroturfed, you're going to go, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I believe that.
Unless you're a rightoid.
Well, if you're a boomer, or maybe if you're an extremely online rightoid, maybe.
Yeah. Mm. So that was fun.
But imagine someone telling you that a particular music artist that's trending is being astroturfed, and you, like, defending his honor. Like, how dare you say that?
There's a lot of politically tone-deaf responses to it that I saw, one of which was... I saw someone say, like, you know, the song North of Richmond, like, that's a cut against, like, D.C. And it just shows, like, people are so, like, sick of D.C. and their antics. And I'm like, they were saying this as if this was novels. Like, that's the American status quo. Everyone hates D.C. all the time. It doesn't mean that anyone's primed and ready for, Like, there's nothing, right, there's no message coming from that song.
Is there,
like, people think,
is there
people,
anybody who, like, defends DC? Like, the honor
no,
of DC,
National
like,
Review did.
Well, National Review wanted you to do a heckin' patriotism about how great America is.
And also do a heckin', no, like, bad. Also do a heckin', like, if your job sucks, just get a heckin' another job.
Yeah, yeah, bro. Stuff like that. But, like, but they,
like, it was really lame. Actually, here's the problem. Like, I read the National Review article, and then I want to defend Oliver Anthony. And, like, that sucks. I don't want to be in that position. Yeah.
Well, what happens with people that are fed up with DC
stuff? They were literally doing a heckin' bootstrap.
People who think that, like, who are fed up with DC, like, their answer to that is always, like, well, that's because my party's not in enough power. I'm going to vote more. Like, Drain the Swamp was, like, the epitome of, I'm fed up with DC's antics. Well, we're going to send Donald Trump. He doesn't drain any swamp. Now we're going to heckin' send him to heckin' do it again. It's just, like, a totally, like, if you don't, like, Congress's approval rating is perpetually below 20%. Mm-hmm. I think people in America have been sick of DC's shenanigans since, like, the 1860s. Mm-hmm. Like, except for when there's a war going on, it might raise into the 30s. Because everybody's just kumbaya-ing about the war effort. But it's like, that's not a... Like, people being dissatisfied with how the feds work, is like, it's not a revolutionary situation. That's the standard American bloviation and individualism showing up. That's how it goes. Right? So
Warren actually just posted something that on his latest episode of Modern Politics, he is getting obviously, like, bought... driven comments, sure, like, course, pushing Oliver Anthony's, yeah, song. Yeah.
Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption. Not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders. You can use crypto. You can use eCheck. You can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now.
It says, I'll read some of it. It's really fucking dumb. Let me see.
Where are these comments? I just got back. Where are these comments?
Warren's
post. It's on Warren's latest episode of Modern Politics.
On Odyssey or on his Telegram? It's got swastikas
on Odyssey.
It's on Odyssey. Oh, on the Odyssey.
Odyssey's really bad for this stuff.
It says, Rich Men North of Rich Men by Oliver Anthony. It's got swastikas in the headline.
Well, it's like Borisley was saying yesterday. It's like, get excited for 2024.
Yeah, and it's like 22 million views in 10 days. Right-wing influencers are losing their minds over a new country song that just appeared on streaming services today.
Oh, so that's literally
interesting how they lose their minds the same exact day it first appears on the streaming service. That's interesting. I wonder if that was organic. Richmond, North of Richmond, is a passionate screed against the state of the country song by Oliver Anthony, who identifies as a farmer living off the grid with his three dogs in Farmville, Virginia.
Well, much like you can identify as a woman, you're like, you will never be a real farmer. You live in Farmville. You live in a bourgeois suburb. Like,
reiterate all this. I'm reading.
Enjoy bashing hobby farming.
We have a direct. This is like a just direct astroturfing going on that happened in his comments. In a video Anthony posted to YouTube earlier this month, he says he started writing songs in 2021 after he wasted a lot of nights getting high and getting drunk. Raw solo songs with titles like "I've Got to Get Sober" and "Ain't Got a Dollar" helped cultivate a small following. But it was the recently released performance video of Rich Men North of Richmond, in which the red-bearded Anthony performs a song on a resonator guitar in a field with a deer blind behind him, that caught the attention of conservative personalities.
All this copy is under one comment? This is all one comment? Yeah.
You can leave long comments on
Odyssey. Well, I know, and I'm just like, I'm shocked.
This is like
the
promo.
Effort.
This is literally like advertising promo.
With swastikas
and
on
And this
it.
Commenter... He had swastikas in the name.
Yeah.
Yes, there's much swastikas like, in the not in the name in the tight in the initial big all caps log.
Much like my friend, much like my friend Redneck Waffen, who tried to troll on my Odyssey channel a couple weeks ago. Redneck Waffen, who's a total heckin' Republican, it was really weird. But go ahead.
Yeah. So that's basically what it is, and then it's directing you to like a Gab post, which I presumably has like more stuff like praising him. So
more trash, more Republican trash.
So yeah, there it is.
I don't know.
That's what's going on. I mean, look, I don't. Again, when I tell you it's AstroTurf, I'm not like trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just telling you. But again, I don't know who we're talking to.
I don't know who we're talking
to. Everyone in our audience is like joking about this.
No, there's like there'll be like one or two. There were one or two comments on the other show that were just like ass blasted. It's just like, wow, I can't believe people still act like the last 5 years didn't happen.
Well,
but,
just relax.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We could just go this route. we could own the entire sector. That's one thing. Like people that are mad that like we're not going with this and doing. I mean, we could own the heckin' like working class Republican gay op fake dissidency scene if we want. I mean, we did own it. It's where we came from. It's just that we weren't fake. So that like when the split happened, you know.
Yeah, I'm just closing Telegram so I'm not distracted anymore. Yeah, I'm trying to respect.
It's like
the group.
It's like you shouldn't. It's like stop. It's like if do you really want to complain to TRS that we're not in on like the Trump? Like we could be Trump grifters for the next year and just clean up. I mean, that's everyone wants like a pretend dissident political effort that's not run by like gays or trannies.
I don't agree that like everybody wants that. That's one thing. Like there's some people that are very loud that want that. Our job is to point out to everybody else. You don't really actually want that shit. Now, there's some personalities.
Oh, I got it. If you don't support Trump, you're Jewish.
Right. Right. Okay. We could do that. Well, we could own that space.
Here's the thing. Here's my one thing that I've always thought about this. Like, I understand what you're saying, but I don't ever say, like, everybody wants that. There's a lot of people in, like, online political spaces that want that, but a lot of that shit is fucking astroturf, man. Like, if people really wanted things that were this, why would they need to astroturf them so hard? Like, why would they need to crop dust so hard? Like, they're crop dusting because they have to, like, really aggressively push this. Like, nobody really asked for the stuff that conservatives put out. They put it out, and they aggressively push it. And there's a subclass of online theory cells that are like, conservatives sell things, therefore people are buying them, therefore we're making a mistake if we don't try and like piggyback on them. And we are in the perpetual forever argument with those people because they're wrong. If they were right, then we would be the idiots.
But we're also in an argument with them because they always come to us and try to
change
what we're doing.
Why is it they always are coming to us? Why are these same people always complaining about us? Because we're saying this gay shit. And usually these people just frankly want money to post online. They just want to be able to make money posting online.
Oh, no. I don't want to read another article about him.
This is a Jew. And the title of the article is Oliver Anthony, Incoherence of Right-Wing Populism. It's like, well, it's incoherent because it's all astroturfed.
That's the same point that Nathan Koffness made.
Yeah.
And what Nathan Koffness said is doubly dishonest because he says, like, populists can't articulate their grievances. I'm like, well,
no, we can,
and we get banned from everything, and you know why. But yes, you're right. Populists can't color within the lines drawn for them by the conservative movement and have an articulate grievance. You're correct about that, Nathan.
The rhetorical question I would ask is if what you advocate for works and is popular, then why are you talking to us? Because we're offering something completely different than what you're offering, so why do you need us if what you're advocating for is popular and is grassroots and is what the way to go? Then go with the flow. What appears to you to be the strong course. You don't need us.
If I could finish my promo, that's because they know what I know. Is that if we played ball with all these like Jewish things, like Mike would just be on the radio. They'd finally have their Rush Limbaugh replacement that they're floundering without. True. You know, everyone knows that, and they just can't. And we're not going to do that.
No, I'm not going to do that.
No. So it's the end.
If I were to do that, I would eventually just like actually do the bit of like of saying Jew. I would actually just use that platform to do that. Maybe I should have like actually planned that whole gay out. But then I would be involved in so much dumb and gay shit on the way that.
Yeah, there's too many dildos on that path.
Yeah. The thing I hate about these situations, it provides Jews with an opportunity to actually say something that has a little bit of meaning to it.
No, the thing is, when these type of gay things happen in the dumb conservative movement, you will get a Jew commentator that comes out and concisely deconstructs it correctly, and it's irritating.
Like, listen to this. In any case, right-wing populism tends to villainize political elites rather than economic ones, those who are culturally alien by virtue of their cosmopolitan values and urban lifestyles, rather than those who are economically proximate. So essentially it's like, why don't you guys do more of an economic populism instead of just fixating on Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, you know?
It's like Joe Biden's also an economic elite, though.
Yeah, but it is true. Yeah. It's like, yes.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's I'll give you a reason why. People get more angry at people who are like culturally different than them. Than somebody who just has more money. Like, that is actually generally true, I think. Now, that is also relative to, like, how much more money they have and how much somebody is getting fucked over. But generalized grievance against just, like, rich people kind of doesn't really...
But see, we kind of look at, like, the economic elites and sort of throw them in the same basket because, like, well, they're the ones who are also part of the same ideology.
They're that's the thing.
Things. They're
in part America, of the you don't have a big difference because rich people all have the tranny nigger values.
Yeah, is there any difference? I don't think there is.
Yeah.
There's also you perceive that you can't have solidarity with rich people because of the, I hate when liberals used to say this, but the I got mine syndrome. You know, like you perceive somebody as having a lot as like, well, they're going to protect what they have before they're going to help me with what I need. And if it comes if it comes down to one or the other, like I'm going to be out on my ass, and they sense that, and it's true. I mean, that's the you don't like claw your way out of the American precarity system and become rich or whatever, just to like throw it all away to help Anthony Olive Garden.
Well, there's a nuance here because if you're talking about somebody who is like high income but is still like riddled with debt and still depends on their check, like even people making like six figures got big houses, a bunch of cars, you know, I actually, those people are not necessarily like creators of the system, but oftentimes they'll be perpetuators of it because they're so invested in the little thing they've carved out. Occasionally you get people like that though, that aren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You will get we have some supporters who are in that income bracket.
Right.
You know, most of our supporters are probably not in that.
Oh, hey, guy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
That income bracket, but we have a few that are. So there's always exceptions. But somebody who's in like the multi-millionaire category, like getting very, very much up there in money, that all these people suck. All those people are very compromised in some way. But yeah.
American society, also more than any other Western society, is prone to crabs in a bucket mentality.
Yep.
You see this way more with Americans because it's the way that the society is ordered, obviously. That's the incentive. Yeah. But
yeah, there's nothing really, that's the thing, is like there's nothing different about like American people that are in America about than like say people that are like individual, like on the level, like we're not like wired biologically structured differently than white people in like Europe. It's just that like we're subjected to a different system, and they are now trying to subject Europe to that same system, and they'll probably get similar results if they succeed.
One thing I do want to say to this whole Eric Levitz article and the incoherence of right-wing populism, as he puts it. The issue here is that what this Oliver Anthony thing is tapping into is not ideological, because populism can be ideological. This specifically is not. What this is speaking to is micro-identities, people who put a lot of investment in being a ruralite or this specific region. I'm a specific regionalist. I'm an esoteric Michigander or whatever.
I have a deer blind.
That kind of stuff.
I'm a deer blindist.
So where
these men are clowns.
Where there is real appeal for the song, the people, you know, adjacent to us within our milieu that I've seen, it's all identity based stuff. It's not ideal, because when you ask them about the lyrics in the song and the like, they kind of gloss over that. They say he's speaking to an identity that they feel like they
resonate
with.
The kind of people he's cosplaying as, right? So don't counter signal it, because then you're counter signaling all of those people.
But
and I'm like, yeah, but see.
But they've gaslit themselves into believing that there's like this abstract group of people who are really animated by the song, and there probably just isn't.
But that's what's so amazing is that the song, it's all theory selling. Like everybody is theory selling about the song, because that's what's so funny is that when the conservative influencers were paid to promote it, that's how they promoted it. They promoted it. Oof. Like, Matt Walsh was theory selling in his initial promotion, and like everyone else is kind of like following suit. Like, he's like, he's like, this is, he gave theories as to why it's appealing, and he presented them. He's like, you're supposed to accept this because you're supposed to identify with the kind of person that in theory I am saying this will appeal to.
All right.
So he's like laying the groundwork for it.
It's like a pickup truck commercial or an SUV commercial where they're like driving it way out there in the country somewhere.
I mean, it might as well be. It might as well be whatever marketing executives at Anheuser-Busch or AB InBev decided to try and after the debacle with Dylan Mulvaney to get back like the audience that they lost by doing like a Harley Davidson themed Budweiser can. Mm-hmm. Like limited collector's edition Harley Davidson themed Budweiser can, like this was the, and then the commercial was all like sweaty dudes like pounding on metal and then like getting on motorcycles. I was like, somehow you've made it like more gay than the Dylan Mulvaney thing, but yeah.
Sons of India.
Like a lot of people. This ad is even gayer, but like
a lot of people don't want to admit this, but a lot of people are going along with this because they have fear of FOMO, and that's how viral marketing works. They generate a buzz, and you don't want to be seen as like, oh, I'm not getting it. And people who do dissident politics are very prone to this because they want to feel like their fingers on the pulse of where people are.
Yeah, yeah. Opposite.
Of lyrics
and,
from a
and we've
song.
Actually been successful by it. See that shit brewing, and we just immediately attack it. And that's why they fucking hate us.
They hate us,
why we'll continue to be successful, because people like that shit.
Right, when we call out the op and we say, like, this is not a thing to participate in. Oh, now you're just irrelevant. Like, that's always been a thing. Like, why are you so irrelevant? It's like, because we're not getting roped into gay ops. Like, you are, and your definition of relevance or irrelevance.
Dude, you know
is
what
one
actually
is not
does
being
seem to be
in.
Popular? With dissident people.
Telling the truth.
People, actually, what we do does seem to be popular. Yeah. Doing this kind of shit does seem to be popular. People do seem to like it.
There's a really triggering half a paragraph in this article that I want to read because it's just like the loud guffawing will be amazing. Finally, right-wing populism tends to channel anti-elite sentiments toward conspiracy theories with few practical implications for public policy. Anthony's apparent allusion to Jeffrey Epstein's facilitation of the sexual predation of underage girls by wealthy elites, and he quotes the lyric, I wish politicians would look out for minors, not just minors who are on an island somewhere, which is really like, that's like an on-brand libertarian sentiment. Like, whoa, leave the pedophiles alone and do something for me.
Well, anyway, that's what I don't get is that supposed to mean that like they're paying attention to them because they want to rape them, or that they're paying too much attention to them politically?
That's like a microcosm.
It's actually not clear.
That's a microcosm of not being able to express yourself as a right-wing dissident in America, because that's not
drive that point home.
But that's not what has me triggered.
He couldn't hit that one.
He continues, the lyric is indicative of this. However, of course, of course, it is not false that a bunch of elites in Epstein's orbit participated in the sexual trafficking and exploitation of minors. But the idea that politicians in general are more interested in having sex with children rather than aiding minors is not well substantiated. Fuck you, Kike. What is this government went to like actual hot war with minors in the Appalachian region in the past. No one went to war with child.
There's no evidence that they've ever really
in war.
Tried to
our federal
them.
Government supports kid touchers. The Taliban.
Like, even if
not
like
the Taliban,
only
the,
one
the,
politician the, ever raped a kid on Epstein Island, that would actually substantiate that.
We overthrew,
even if only just one.
We overthrew the Taliban so that Bakabazi kid touchers could take over that country.
That's
it's
true,
literally the opposite. Like, that is the most outrageous statement. And this is, you know, I'm reading a Jew article. And what is this? In NY Mag? That's saying something. That is an outrageously.
It's that feeling when two intelligence are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say that the one thing he said was correct, which is that right wing populists channel energy into conspiracy theories without practical application.
True.
Yes, that's true. And if this guy. Now, the one thing that's sort of funny is sometimes you get the impression, and I don't know how true this is or not, that, you know, one hand doesn't know what the other hand is washing or whatever in, like, the left wing, you know, like,
the left wing hand doesn't know what the right wing hand is washing.
Oh my god!
They don't know what the right wing hand is gay opping. Like they're not necessarily all in on it, so they react to the gay ops like they're real and they get angry. Or that could just be kayfabe. I don't know. I definitely know with like goy libtard commentators, they're absolutely not in on it. They don't get it. They don't understand what the GOP is doing, the kinds of gay ops they're running, and they get really, really rustled by them. Jews, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know, but it's very funny.
I mean, that's how you get like the libtards who think that we have big money Republican donors that's the NJP.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's really very.
The donors aren't going to like that point four of the fucking
platform.
That's not
even them not knowing what the gay op is. That's them being. What that is really is actually them falling for libtard gay ops. That is them like falling for like the really, really dumb low tier stuff that they pitch to libtards and those people like falling for that and being enjoyers of that. Like if we A-logged like the libtard scene more, we kind of lump them all together, but there's definitely subdivisions within that scene and there are definitely rubes in that scene that like basically gobble up whatever the dumbest shit is. And I'm sure that
next to them, I talk to them. It's amazing. We make fun of conservatards, but libtards are right there at the bottom. It's amazing the things that come out of their mouths.
Yeah. Additionally, I wanted to talk about this for a second. So we can stop talking about Oliver of Nine Anthonys for a second. yeah.
Ollie and Anthony.
Yeah. I was talking last night to some people, and somebody brought up that they had watched that movie, The Blind Side, when it came out in 2009. And the family that adopted the nigger are not libtards. And in the movie, they are actually portrayed as, like, evangelical conservatives. And in the movie, this is in 2009, it's even made a point of it, that they're conservatives because there's a point where somebody who comes to work for that family, like on their house, like says like, you know, I'm a Democrat. And they're like, that's all right. We forgive you. And the woman that Sandra Bullock plays, like brags about how she carries a Saturday Night Special with her everywhere. And even at one point goes down to like the hood and rescues this nigger from like drug dealers using her gun. Like she does like a Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, you know, that type of thing. Except she's not quite as based.
Gran Turismo.
Because that was actually a great scene. but yeah.
Well, the thing about the Tuohys is that because they're from Memphis and they were very wealthy, they actually owned Taco Bell franchise.
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall. rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
Guys, is what it was.
Oh, all is forgiven.
And yeah. And
now I hope that nigger loses.
I'm joking. A lot of the wealthy people, because like this came up with the Eliza Fletcher stuff as well, you know, because we have people in our scene who are very familiar with the types of families, the wealthy families that are in Memphis, and when they get to up to a certain point of wealth,
they are and there are big GOP donors that donate. I'm joking.
Well, a lot of these people that are wealthy people in Memphis kind of. The party identification kind of becomes a little bit more fungible because they are all kind of the same and they all have the sense of noblesse oblige that they feel towards people in Memphis, towards blacks in Memphis, which
is what
caused. Well,
this is what I was actually saying. This isn't even just specific to Memphis. When you get to the income level of people like the Tuohys, who are if not top, they're not like Elon Musk levels, Bill Gates levels of wealth, but they're like $1 million. They're like 10 million range, something like that, right? They're very wealthy, but they're not like wealthy as like the super, super, super wealthy. Well, they're way above any income bracket we could aspire to. But when you get to people like these, I would say, you know, like low level wealthy people or upper, very aspirational upper middle class or upper, like lower upper class, however you want to describe it, you kind of know the strata. It's a small strata. But when you get to those people, and no matter where you're from, Memphis or any other place, like you can't tell the difference between the conservatives and the libtards.
Indeed, yes.
Like you cannot tell the difference. The difference there would be, oh, this one has like a gun and donates to the NRA. Yeah. Right. And like that would horrify someone of a similar social strata, like that lived in a suburb of New York rather than a suburb of Memphis. But other than that, their values are exactly the same, including going to church.
Yep.
Unless they're Jewish. So the white people, like upper middle class or lower upper class whites, go to church. They're the type of people that do. And they also adopt blacks and signal about adopting blacks. The only thing I would say is that maybe that's leaning more towards the conservative side. And I think this movie was maybe a leading indicator of that trend of it's increasingly more conservatives doing it. I know actual middle class liberals are not doing it anymore. They are not adopting blacks anymore. And wealthy people knows, but...
Every adopted black that I knew by the time I was a teenager, all conservative families.
Yeah, they're all Republicans, right? Yeah, yeah. And this movie was like a leading trendsetter for that. This is one of the things that was setting that trend. So it made perfect sense that that's actually the case. That they were actually not libtards but conservatives. But again, you can't tell the difference at that level. Like, you really can't. And who knows if the movie was honest about, you know, what's her name, Mrs. Tui, like carrying around a Saturday Night Special in her purse. That could have been contrived to create the scene where she goes down. The thing is, that kind of scene, even today, that scene would be too much.
Hmm.
The spectacle of a white woman like using a gun to threaten like black drug dealers, even if she is like doing white savior complex on like another black, like this would be heavily called out these days.
They would call it the subtle racism of being a Karen, basically.
Oh yeah, yeah. They would basically that's true if because she's literally a Karen. Like, she is like a quintessential Karen, even the way her hair is and everything in the movie. You know, so yeah. But she's like literally presented as like tough as nails Karen, like rescues nigger from the hood. Like that's that. Yeah.
In light of this lawsuit, it would be interesting to see libtards return to this movie and see what the revised thoughts on it are.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny. But yeah, the thing, what's so funny is that, you know, talking about, there was someone who was talking about someone, you know, we saw this in a chat. There's this person who's talking about her father, who she's always fighting with, like was actually, who doesn't get mad about any other stuff, was mad about this of all things. And I was like, is he mad because like the wish that is presented by this story is actually not true? I don't know. Maybe I'm projecting, but like that was my guess. And I'm wondering if like, but it's sort of funny because this is like other wealthy people and like wealthy people, just wealthy people concerns. I can't believe the ungrateful nigger is like suing them. I'm like, I hope he wins. I hope he fucking wins.
Yeah, I don't know. This is reminding me of what Borsley was saying yesterday about middle American radicals and like how we are very different than conservatives. We don't have the same mindset as conservatives. Don't think like them. They are not us. Mm-hmm. We are not them.
No. They're much more like the Tui family.
They want, like, at best, they want some like incremental improvement in conditions so they can just go back to not paying attention. That's not radical.
Exactly. And, you know. And the difference between the middle American radical, I can sum up with a poll that was from that survey from 1976, that the term middle American radical came from the sociologist that was studying why did all these urbanized northern voters vote for George Wallace. And they didn't just want to go with just race, although they did say that middle American radicals were more likely to talk about race and they were more comfortable talking about race and having their opinions on. But 10% of middle American radicals wanted state force to be used against anybody. Anyone didn't matter to everyone to them. It just didn't matter. Middle American radicals basically see institutions as hostile to them, but that doesn't make the institutions in and of themselves bad. They're suspicious of the institutions because they're so aligned to them. But what they want is those institutions captured and used against their enemies, which explains the whole popularity of Trump. Trump said that I'm going to use these institutions on the people who hate you.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's also where they say, like, just unleash the cops.
And that's... That's different than the conservative mentality, because conservatives talk about like rule of law and fairness and as long as everybody plays by the rules.
Talk about dismantling any institution. They also talk about
Destroying the institution instead of taking responsibility and wielding it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
always their answer to libtard capture and overreach, and that just ensures because that libtards
the conservatives are infantile cowards. They're just infantile cowards.
Well, they deserve to be scorned. They are, but I think that they are also because they are paid to take these positions, and then nobody.
Infantile cowardly grifters. All right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, but that's how, like, Reaganism isn't organic, right? And to the extent people are repeating Reaganism, it's because Reaganism has been embedded in the American political consciousness for, like, almost 50 years now. And yet Reaganism itself is astroturfed. It is, like, crop dusted. It is not something – nobody would have thought of it if, like, Jews didn't, like, pay people. Like, no white people would have ever thought of that. And just like, yeah, like you have to pay people to say these things because they wouldn't on their own. Like, this is a difficult thing for people who have seen conservatives selling things for so long that they assume that there is like a buyer's market for this. Not like this stuff is only bought because literally every other store is closed. And
Reaganism was also a bait and switch because in the 1976 election, he was talking about literally his exact words were strapping young bucks using food stamps to buy T-bone steaks while you're waiting in line waiting for hamburger.
There was right a racial that. Element to the first Reagan campaign
of a hamburger.
And he also was talking about in California when he was governor, just like unleashing the National Guard and all the fucking dirty, filthy, rich hippies at Berkeley and all the places that were rioting constantly in the college campuses. Like he was saying, like, yeah, like, and he was doing the same bit Nixon was doing, like, oh, they say they're for peace and love and change. I'll tell you what, I think they're spoiled rotten. They're spoiled rotten.
Hmm.
You know, like, and it's like, yeah, that people love that shit.
What's funny is that by 1980, when they were developing the more Reaganistic playbook, they were already starting to do Democrats were the real fascists. I found an article from Newsweek from 1980 where Mondale was bringing up all the things that Reagan had said. And one of the things that Reagan had said was that the New Deal was fascism.
Well, I mean...
I mean, like, yes, yeah, so, like we can do the well actually like, about their position economics.
I mean,
he was playing to playing into that developing playbook of we have to call anything the liberals and Democrats do Nazism and fascism that started as early as 1980.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't even Dinesh that first came up with it.
It was Reagan.
It was Arthur Finkelstein, wasn't he behind Reagan?
That I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Maybe I could be wrong about that, but I don't know. Anyway, here's the thing. The official right in America is fake. It's been fake for a very long time. And it got particularly fake in the 80s. It was fake before, but it got particularly fake in the 80s. And it is even worse now, and it's only getting worse. And social media, from social media for a second, you will think about it and be like, yeah, wow.
Oh, you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using, like, e-checks. Then there's some extra fees, because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content... these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription.
That's one of the funny things. It's actually kind of interesting seeing libtarded reactions to the way the conservative movement is now. They are sort of like baffled by it. They're just like
you told. You told the truth with an agenda. He did work on the Reagan campaign.
There we go. I thought I remembered that from when all when Jazz Hands was doing all that research, but yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Now, speaking of another fake populist gay op, we can move from America to Argentina.
Oh, boy. Yes! I've been doing so much research on this.
This one is funny. That was good. So, all right, Alex just doesn't even know. So, they're having a presidential election soon. I guess maybe 2024. I don't know. Anyway, they had their primaries. And the guy that won the primary for the right-wing party, the right-wing, I don't know how it works, but, like, there's some complex system. Anyway, the guy that won the primary for the right and actually got more votes than any other candidate in the primaries is this guy named Javier Milei, who is basically like an unreconstructed Rothbardian, even to the point where he is doing, like, yes, it's moral to, like, buy and sell children.
Well, he's not married. He's got dogs. He's a dog mom. And all of his dogs are clones of his previous dog, Conan.
That's very
two of the
odd.
Dogs.
What?
Two of his dogs are named Rothbard and Milton for Milton Friedman.
Right.
What
so,
the fuck?
And he also says that look, here's the thing. This guy is not going to win. I believe that I heard this morning that he already, even after, like, everyone was crying because he won this primary like 2-3 days ago, and it was like, what the fuck, this guy? Okay, all right, so you got the most votes, but everyone's like, yo, what the fuck, this guy is like literally a gay op. Now, here's the thing, that's weird, that shit with the dogs, but his worst position is he wants to eliminate Argentina's currency, shut down their central bank, and move them to the US dollar. And that means to me that all of his other libertarian stupidity aside, what is going on is that he is a shill. He is basically some kind of CIA or some kind of op. But now, he's not actually – what's funny is he's not actually Jewish, because I have another article from the Times of Israel that says Argentina's far-right presidential frontrunner wants to become Jewish. So now he has
– that's what this one talks about as well. This one also talks about that as well, as with his Catholic background. And
which one's
worse? So this one is also saying that he just wants to be Jewish.
What's worse, being Jewish or wanting to be Jewish? My God.
He always talks to.
What's up?
I said, what's worse, like being Jewish or someone who wants to be Jewish?
I think
he's so disgustingly philo-Semitic. It's actually like, you have to read this article. It's actually just really just off-putting how disgustingly philo-Semitic he is.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's like 100 times worse than Donald Trump or Jared Bolsonaro. Like, it's way worse. Thing is, he doesn't seem to understand that he's supposed to hide that shit.
Hmm. I'm trying to take that in. I don't know. Like, do you need to hide that?
Right. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, no, nobody wants it. I'm sorry. Like, this guy is going to plummet. In my view, this guy is going to plummet in the polls because opposition has started putting out, like, his real positions on shit. Like, the fact that he says marriage should be abolished. The reason marriages go south is because when you have a single buyer for the product, which is like apparently, I guess, sex, you will the quality goes down. And that's why men get fat and women get fat and they get lazy. And then he's like, you need to have competition. So you should have like two or three partners so that every single one is always worried. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck kind of shit is this?
It's like high level dread game right there.
and then there he is. That's the Chabad guys. Like, that's Moshiach right there. That's that fucking Chabad rabbi. And I posted another article. There's a tweet with a video of him, like, yarmulke wearing, standing with all these kikes. Maybe that's exactly the video you were looking at. Yeah.
Dude, yeah,
this guy
at.
Is – oh, here it is. This is, like, him opening one of his rallies with the – hold on a second. This is the – Is this
here? I have this. This is all in the article.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
shofar, blowing the shofar at his rally.
Is that the Feezy
so he
horn?
Has like some kike.
Sound the shekel horn.
Like the shekel horn.
Oh, God.
Dude, that is like way worse than even like Ron DeSantis.
That's man, look at all these people that are there.
This is like a parody we would make of a Republican candidate.
Yeah. No, he is. He is like a parody. And the whole thing of like...
They're packed in there like it's a fucking Overkill concert.
Yeah.
It was a South American
fact, though,
metal
that
joke.
He's...
More like an Overkill concert.
Ooh!
The fact that he is it's saying like, let's like, not and not de-dollarize, let's dollarize. It's like, okay, yeah, so actually,
Francis
by all this other weird shit you're doing, you are simply a tool of Washington.
That was a Hannibal Lecter joke.
All the philo-Semitism and then the wanting to prop up the dollar and like box out like the Russia-China de-dollarization move in South America. Like, yeah.
Do you see? And he's like having a circumcision. This is me changing. And it's like the dollar. It's like, I'm Francis Dollarize. He like straps you. You're the gay op target. You're like the Republican sitting in the chair. You're strapped down. You're forced to watch the slideshow of Francis Dollarize changing Argentina into like a fucking... into a fucking subject of Israeli fucking international finance being destroyed. Do you see? Do you see? And then he sets you on fire.
The guy's like,
and he sets you on fire, throws you down the street.
The guy in the chair is like, oh God. Oh God.
I won't say anything. I promise. I'll write whatever you want me to write about your campaign. Yeah. I'll tell rightoids that you're based.
Javier Dollarize.
I will tell them that this is what we have to do to win. Climate change is a socialist conspiracy. I will write that. Yes, I see it. You're changing.
They have llamas down there, right? Call it Silence of the Llamas.
All right, that's the show title. Thank you, Borzoi. I like Francis Dollarize, but Silence of...
That was actually
Red Dragon, but it's close. It's in the same. It's in the cinematic or literary universe.
It's in the Lecter cinematic universe. Yeah.
I haven't seen Red Dragon forever. I saw it in theaters whenever it came out.
Dude, it's good.
Watched it in old timey theater.
Yeah.
Well, if you want a libertarian pun for it, then I guess Gold Dragon.
Gold Dragon.
Black and Gold Dragon.
Oh man, I was trying to think of something funny like that.
Maybe Grand Dragon. Hey, there's your BattleTech reference of the day.
No, I thought that was a clan reference.
No, it's kind of a combat reference.
Oh, that's Grand Wizard.
You'll tell me when those llamas stop screaming, Clarice. Pardon me. Choking on my own sweet jokes. Jokes. Oh, man. I didn't mean to stop the actual content by shitposting, but there it goes.
No, that was good. That was
actually amazing shitposting, because this is the only place you're going to find somebody shitposting about BattleTech and the KKK at the same time.
That's true.
Well, it's just like old days. We're talking about libertarians and shitposting.
Yeah, I never thought I would see this sort of thing again. I'm wondering, is Argentina just like behind? Because this is...
Well, yeah.
But also, here's what's amazing about this. Now, the number of people at that rally, like, I can't say what those people are thinking. And the fact this guy got all of these votes, but like it does seem to be that like now that they are putting out kind of the real kind of shit this guy thinks, which is literally like, you know, selling children as sex slaves is just fine. Also, anybody in our thing, this is the other thing, anybody who's even pretending to be part of our thing that starts like talking about this guy, you have to be highly suspicious of why they would do that. Because there's nothing about him that even remotely appeals to anything that we're about.
Red alpaca. Sorry.
Red alpaca?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. It wasn't good, but it works. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is Red Donkey. I mean, why not just do that? Right?
Red,
don't they have donkeys down there to climb like the side of the mountains?
Yeah.
But
Red Burrow.
The hell?
Oh. That was
red
bad.
Quinoa. Isn't Argentina a major exporter of quinoa?
Oh, I love red
not
quinoa.
Paraguay.
Hey everybody, Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life. And I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.
Oh, it's Paraguay.
Oh, it is.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway.
I can't eat quinoa because it's all carbs. God damn it. I want some quinoa.
So the other thing to know about Argentina, it is the country with the third most Jews in the world.
Yes.
After the U.S. and then Israel is Argentina.
Pretty wild.
So there you go.
There was a huge anti-Semitic terror attack that happened decades ago. They still, I hear them talk about it every so often.
Yeah, the Amia thing or whatever it was. Yeah, they blew up a Jewish community center or something. Palestinians did in Argentina. Or that's who they say did it. But yeah.
I think Armenians have been accused of being complicit in that.
There's a theory that it was a false flag to like pin it on Iran. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look into it again. I forgot everything I used to know about that. But yeah, that was a big deal. So that's undoubtedly where a lot of this support, obviously support and money, is coming from. Are Jews. I mean, he has got to be the guy collecting the most Jewish votes in Argentina. And of course, they, as everywhere, they're going to have huge amounts of political power and influence. And they're going to be in contact with Jews here. And they're trying to set Argentina up as a counterbalance to Brazil, because they see Brazil drifting into, not just drifting, but sort of absolutely just like stepping into the Russia-China orbit. And they want to counter that, and the main thing is like, yeah, having another country that is using, not just like holding dollars in reserve, but just like using dollars as their he's literally says like abolish our own national currency and just use the dollar. That is something that is so retarded for any Argentinian who's not Jewish to want, that like I can't see how that'll succeed. It's literally sacrificing any sovereignty the country might have. Additionally,
why have all the times to do it? Would you pick now?
Right.
Like, seems like a good moment in the history of economics to switch to the dollar.
Right. Right now, when like the trend globally is to move off of it, or at least to start thinking about moving off of it, or trying to not be beholden to it anymore. Let's definitely dive in. This is no kind of foreign influence op going on here. Like the CIA has no involvement in this. And the problem is, though, what's sort of funny is for somebody to propose that kind of thing. Additionally, Argentina has an open borders policy, and this guy is a proponent of it. He's like has no intention. He's not even pretending, like Giorgio Meloni or any people like that. He's not even pretending to have an intention to like kick immigrants out or shut the border down. And Argentina has a massive immigration problem. Like the Indians and mixed race Mexicans and whatever, or just mixed race white Indian people and Indian people are constantly going into Argentina because it is the whitest, or was at one point, you know, I don't know about the white, a very white country. And they were all going there because even Uruguay's despite the fact, now. Yes, Paraguay? Even despite the fact that Argentina has had like just legendary economic fucking constant meltdowns for like the last, I don't know, even people that don't really follow know, like every once in a while you hear, oh yeah, Argentina's in economic collapse again. It's like every few years you hear about it again.
You know, they have like total national bank failures.
I remember them being like the big corrupt political family that was leading Argentina into the gutter.
Who's that?
The Kirchners. The husband and wife who took turns being president of the country.
Oh, yeah. So,
not just German names.
Well, yes. But there are Jews that have had that name. I know the name means like church person or something like that, but there are Jews that have had that name before. But in any case, pressing forward. Yeah. So I don't know. It's very funny. But to me, what's even funnier is like this is sort of like the best they could do. Like this is the guy they could get. And really, he has all these odious views aside from the thing with the dollar that I just don't see. I don't see how he's actually electable once all that shit comes out and he has to answer for those things. And it seems like when he gets asked, he does the Sargon bit of like doubling down on it. It's like the problem is, like, that's not what people want you to double down on. Because it was like, remember when Sargon was like running for whatever dumb thing, parliament or whatever, and they would like troll him on some of the stuff he did for his sort of like like libertarian priors, and he would like be like own them by like doubling down. It's like, yeah, no, that's not.
I wouldn't even rape you.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It's sort of like that was like kind of dumb because it's like, bro, like it's just clown show stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it's like what you should say is like, why don't you talk about something serious instead of a joke I made like years ago? And so why not just like make the rape joke again? I don't know. It's just, yeah.
Well, that's what you get when you have people who their entire political experience is just screaming at people online and they haven't actually had to deal with actual politics. So this makes sense in blood sports. So this will translate out to the real world.
Also, it's like trying
to channel Donald Trump without really getting it right.
Yeah, getting it wrong. Like it's not that like Donald Trump is like into rape that made him popular. It's that he's popular for other things, and he was defending himself from these charges rather than just capitulating like what Republicans are perceived as usually doing.
So, yeah, he was also saying Mexicans are doing raping.
Yeah, so if you're just trying to piggyback off the attitude, you're like,
I'm the one doing the raping.
Yeah, yeah, you can't. Yeah, yeah. It's not going to work.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, yeah. If someone's doing the raping, it's me.
Oh, God. That's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, don't quote that, but yeah. Anyway, I don't know. There's not much else to be said about this melee character. Did you have anything more on this guy, Borzoi? Just more weird shit, or like?
I just mostly have weird shit because I have his comments about marriage, which you guys kind of alluded to. I don't know if you want to go.
Yeah, read the exactly context. I don't know. It's kind of boring, but
so this is kind of Google translated because I found the article from 2017 on this. But as a libertarian that I am not only a libertarian economically but also culturally, and that in principle creates some discomfort. Malay said.
Yeah.
Given his words, the panelists of the program asked open couple. Malai replied, yes, yes, yes. Besides, there is nothing better than the competition. In this sense, he explained that marriages tend to deteriorate the state of the couple. Marriage is a horrible institution, firstly because it is a contract for life. I don't want marriage. I don't want regulations. Marriage makes the relationship worse because as breaking that contract is costly, what appears it's called the moral hazard, so you take more risks. Men get fatter, women take less care of themselves, and there's a whole series of deteriorations that affect how things work. Following that line, the man referred to the law of diminishing marginal utility. In other words, you consume the same product every day. Utility fails. When you take diversity, that increases your utility. When you go out with two or three people, it works great because from one person you capture one thing, and from another, something else, then you're going barbaric. Now, when you become monogamous, for some reason, the law of diminishing marginal utility kills you. To top it off, he said, I don't like monopolies.
He looks like Mork and Mindy in this picture.
I like that he admitted like that his positions are weird and unpopular in the beginning there. That was good.
It's because he's from another planet. He's an alien.
Dude, there's like, some
I'm kind of a weird fuck, and I put everything into an economic paradigm whenever I analyze my human relationships. That's what I do.
A lot of people
don't like it.
There was one other article which was really highlighted the goofy stuff about him. That's where I got the stuff about that his dogs are cloned. So Malay used to consult with a brujo. Which is a sorcerer or a warlock for the sake of his sick dog. Sick dog hunter. Yeah, and then he used to consult with an animal telepath. and then he used to have a Twitter account for his dog at Conan_Malay. But my favorite one right here is that he got into politics in 2020, and the story is that he allegedly has imaginary conversations with Murray Rothbard and Ayn Rand, and they convinced him. The big Rothbard in his head is what told him to go into politics.
Yeah. So I got a read from this article in the Times of Israel. I think it's the same one on the Jewish Telegraph Agency. It says, Argentina has never had a Jewish president, but that concept could move a step closer to reality after general election in October. That's because on Sunday, the leading vote-getter in national primary elections was Javier Milei, a libertarian who wants to convert Argentina's currency to the U.S. dollar and has made headlines for controversial comments on hot-button topics, ranging from climate change to sex education. He also wants to convert to Judaism. In an interview with Spain's El País last month, Milei said he is considering conversion, one of the obstacles getting in the way, observing Shabbat. If I'm president and it's Shabbat, what do I do? Am I going to disconnect the country from Friday to Saturday? There are some issues that would make the religion incompatible. The rabbi who helps me study says that I should read the Torah from the point of view of economic analysis. Milay, 52-year-old economist.
Well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't, because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Bag it.
Raised Catholic and who leads a 2-year-old La Libertad Avanza, Freedom Advances Party, studies Jewish topics regularly with Rabbi Shimon Axel Wanish, who heads Akilba, an Argentine-Moroccan Jewish community based in Buenos Aires. He's a person I love very much, whom I consult regularly, Milay said in an interview with Radio High, a Jewish radio station that broadcasts from Buenos Aires. These are discussions that suddenly can take 2 or 3 hours, and that for me are very gratifying and help me grow a lot and understand situations in a much deeper way. There is little unsurprising about Millet's persona, policy principles, and electoral success, the bushy-headed politician with long blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Millet is often referred to as far-right libertarian and anarcho-capitalist. He blames the establishment for the country's poverty levels and soaring inflation. He points to other issues with corruption. If elected, he says he would dismantle Argentina's central bank, sharply cut public spending. In public appearances, Milei often quotes
Torah
passages.
Get on board
passages.
With America's central bank?
Yes. That's sort of the wild one. He's like the one libertarian that likes the U.S. dollar, which is very strange, right?
It's like I'm looking at this picture. It's like, put the Don't Tread on Me flag down, bro. Like, this is the plan to, like, tread on you forever with
right. RMMT. Like that's what the one thing where it's like, okay, so all this libertarian stuff, but then he wants to use the U.S. dollar, which is something that, like, American libertarians hate with a passion. They want to go back to gold. Now, there's a potential thing that he could argue back, which would be like, well, the U.S. dollar is, like, an effective replacement for gold. But I'm like, no, it's not. Not in there. Not in that. Not if you're a Rothbardian.
It's not.
But, yeah, not only that, but you don't control it now. You're totally subjected to a foreign central bank. But anyway, that's why he's probably just some kind of Jewish CIA plant, right? He has visited the Buenos Aires Holocaust Museum and last July traveled to New York, where he visited the grave of Lubavitcher Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. That's the guy. Like, Moshiach is coming. Moshiach is here. You've seen, yeah. That's the guy who was in that picture.
They just call him the Rebbe because that's just like how much is worshipped by this community.
Yeah. The influential former spiritual leader of the Chabad Lubavitch movement. Milei, and this is funny. This is actually highly hilarious.
Literally, okay. That guy genetically looks like he was born in Israel.
Milei and his vice presidential candidate, Victoria Villarreal, were the only two Argentine lawmakers to vote against a bill that would have made the July 18th date of the 1994 Amia Jewish Center bombing a national day of mourning. A group of families of victims of the attack shouted at Milei at this year's commemoration ceremony for the incident that killed 85 people. After sharp criticism, Milei tried to change his vote, but his request was denied by the Chamber of Deputies. He's staunchly pro-Israel, and he said that Argentina has only two allies that are the United States and Israel.
We are Jew haters.
Wrong drop. God damn it.
This looks like the cast of Seinfeld up here.
That's what I was trying to hit.
Yeah.
It's right next to it. Sorry about that.
So I don't really know what else really needs to be said about this guy. This is not something I think that is going to be an issue. Although I have seen some personalities out there like shilling for this guy.
Well, yeah,
but it's not even worth responding to.
Because this is like hand in hand with Trump, Bolsonaro, Howdy Modi. It's like the international like Chabad. Like, look at me, I'm a libertarian.
International House of Chabad.
Yeah, it's like this is what they
like
do.
The International House of Kebab or whatever.
Or
it is.
Pancakes. Like, yeah. Like
National House of Pancakes.
But it's like you're going, there's going to be money behind shilling that, and people
the
are
National House
it.
Of Matzah.
That would be terrible. No one would eat there.
Nobody wants that.
People want
the
pancakes.
Council of Super Goyim.
What a matzah. In and out matzah.
Lots of matzah. But yes, so. But the thing is, like, this guy is, like, worse. Like, Bolsonaro was actually much more like a Trump-type figure because he basically promoted almost the same kind of politics that Trump did to Brazilians. this guy is like off the reservation. What's funny is like why, what I'm kind of curious about is like why him? You couldn't get a more convincing populist to run your gay op? Like this guy? Like what's going on? Like, I don't know. But it seems that people, it seems that he tried to play the role of a less libertarian, more populist during the campaign, and now all this crazy shit that he used to say is coming out, and he's losing support. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, I think as a politician, you don't want to be on record as saying, like, I know that this is not super popular with people, but, you know, I'm kind of a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm, like, basically okay with organ trafficking and child trafficking, and don't think, I think we should abolish marriage.
He's like doing marginal utility analysis on being married.
Yeah.
My marriage utils are on decline.
They say your utils in your spouse decline over the years. So couple of utils. You should just have sex with multiple people in that way. Yeah. That's healthier.
What a soulless, horrid way to live your life.
I'm looking at another
article. Well, he doesn't have a family. This guy doesn't have a family.
Yeah. Soul. Oh, all right. That answers that.
Oh, yeah, he was also, up until he got really popular in this election, he was also estranged from his parents. The only person he really talked to was his sister, who was also kind of into the weirds.
I was just going to ask if he was, like, raised by a single mom. His sister.
Well, I mean, I meant his family, of his actual blood relative family.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Reading this article about from Buenos Aires Times, Milei says he'd reject assassin China, take Argentina out of Mercosur, and he basically would stop stop trading with China as much as possible. China is Mercosur. I'm not sure what that is. The Mercosur trade block. Oh, that's what the Mercosur trade block with Brazil.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So basically, he's doing the anti-Lula thing.
Yeah, so he wants to go anti-Lula. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But China is the second largest buyer of Argentine exports, and he basically wants to end that trade.
Yeah, that's very dumb. That's like legitimately. What's the first largest?
Probably Brazil. Yeah,
I would guess Brazil.
Brazil's the biggest trade partner.
Yeah. So he wants to tell the two biggest trading partners with Argentina to fuck off, abolish their currency, and adopt the U.S. dollar. And he thinks that this is going. And look, I don't know what he thinks. He probably doesn't give a shit, but I can't imagine even like a very dumb person would understand that is not going to be good for the economy of Argentina. Like, seriously, like, let's tell the two biggest buyers of our products to fuck off, abolish our currency, and become a colony of the United States, become an economic vassal of the U.S. Let's do it. Right-wing populism, go.
He also disparaged the trade the trade alliance that Argentina founded with Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay more than 3 decades ago. So it's not just Brazil. It's
like, why? He
won't trade with any quote unquote socialist countries either. So it's like, what? Who are your trade partners other than the United States?
Well, like, wait, I thought you were a libertarian, my nigga. Because libertarians, actually, the ideological Rothbardian shit that I used to read, they would say, like, even if they're communists, we should trade with them.
Yeah, that was the argument for lifting the sanctions on Cuba. So we can defeat them through trade.
They're like, yeah, one, we can defeat them through trade. Also, like, we shouldn't become the bad thing in order to defeat the bad thing. Like, yeah, we'll trade. We should just trade with communist countries. That was their position. And they're like, that way, one, we can convince them out of communism.
Yeah,
and also, we will be being ideologically pure, where we won't be. We'll be only basing decisions on trade, on whether or not the trades are actually economically, like, Pareto efficient or whatever the fuck it is, right? Like, so yeah. Anyway, whatever. But so this guy is just like an absolute shill. Like, there's absolutely no question that this dude is a complete and total shill and is probably being funded by it's probably gay op stuff, but I'm guessing it's probably being funneled through the Argentine Jewish community, of which is probably just dumping money into his pockets. Yeah. I don't know how well regulated any of that shit is or what the laws are or if they're observed or whatever. I assume probably not.
it was in his book where the original article I read was a Google Translate one with the weird stuff with his dogs. But this confirms a recent biography titled El Loco, or The Crazy One, recounts how Milei cloned Conan following his death, which he hid for years, and claims that he communicates with the dog through a mystic.
Listen, let's not criticize his personal life. Let's just stick to politics, okay?
Tell me more about the dog cloning.
Isn't that like the plot of like The Sixth Day? Like that's like at the beginning of the movie.
You
like
have to check
Arnold,
the dog's.
Like,
you check the dog's eyelids that's for where, what like, generation he is.
Like yeah, that's the sixth, yeah.
The sixth gay op.
The sixth gay op. The sixth gay op.
Down the sixth gay op. Very good, Borzy.
Yeah, the problem with the, you know what the biggest problem with the sixth day is? There is no memorable one-liner from that movie. None.
I barely remember it at all.
I was going to say it's not a memorable movie because I don't remember.
Hey, it's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? This is the you want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio on how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
I just remember, all I remember from that movie are the bumps on your eyelid that indicate you're a clone. That's all. That's literally all I remember from that film.
Oh, it's basically like Arnold. It's an Arnold movie. It's a later Arnold flick. I still liked it when I watched it, but I don't remember much about it. I remember the bad guy like kept cloning himself until the quality of the clones was like degrading. And because Arnold was like destroying them, and then he had to keep trying to do it because he wanted to live forever. And then like the clones were coming out like retarded or something like that. I don't know.
The guy who played Beetlejuice had clones of himself and they kept degrading. That was supposed to be funny.
That's Multiplicity.
Multiplicity. Yeah.
It sounds like that could just be a trope that they've done a few times.
Was the sixth day a Swartz later flick? Is that what it was?
Swartz later. Yeah.
Is that like when, did you just make that up or?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes my puns work, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, but no, Schwarzenegger, that does work because that's like the back half of his career where he was, you know, fading from stardom. Yeah, no, that's
there perfect. Are still some good ones like Eraser. Good ones. That was good.
You have been erased.
Well, so but it has a one-liner. That's the thing. That's what makes it good. It has like the memorable one-liners like tend to fade as Arnold ages. I'd say The Running Man probably has the most.
That is the best fucking Arnold movie ever.
I think that's probably the best one.
Killian!
That's fucking great. He's also
can you sit here and tell me that when Predator exists?
That's better than Predator, dude. I'm sorry.
Predator's
not funny.
Well, look, Predator fairly... is a
fucking awesome movie.
It's awesome. Those are the top two.
Even in my mind, but like, yeah, Predator has some great one-liners too where he's like, stick around after he like you know sticks the knife through the guy's chest.
as a film, the pacing is perfect. The production is perfect. Mm-hmm. It's just
Great. I see both those movies the same way.
Dylan,
son of a bitch.
Millie
soundtrack.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You remember End of Days?
Some bitch is still in there looking at Alabama Tech.
That's another one that I watched it. I don't really remember it. I remember Gabriel Byrne having like a threesome with the mother and the daughter and being like,
"End of Days."
Here we go. That's weird.
That was during
the Y2K craze. There was a bunch of movies that were like, "The world's about to end." It was weird.
End of Days didn't leave much of an impression.
You know what the one liner was for that one? Like he kills himself. He's like, "God, give me the strength." That's not a good one. It's not funny.
Yeah.
He's just like, he's trying to be all
sincere.
Yeah,
dude, I'm sorry.
He falls on his sword or whatever happens. I don't remember, actually.
What's his signature one-liner from Commando?
Yeah.
Never seen Commando.
Oh, no, it's, I know. Remember when I said I'd kill you last? I lied.
wait, is that Commando? What is that one?
That's Commando.
Okay, there you go. There you go. There it is. There we got it.
I've got to see that.
Total Recall. I can't believe you've never seen Commando. Oh. I haven't seen it in a while. Total Recall is another fantastic.
Yeah, those are the top three.
My favorite Arnold.
Predator, Running
Man,
Total Recall.
Total Recall is one of my favorite movies, period. That one is so fucking
good. Total Recall is also very good. Total Recall is objectively fun. That's a good
movie.
I'll
bet you think this is the real Quaid. It is.
It is, yeah, right.
That's like the money. He just like blows them all away. That's fucking funny, man.
It also has like that one typecast corporate bad guy who I swear was like in a dozen movies in that time period.
Ironside?
Yeah, Michael Ironside.
Yeah.
No, not Michael Ironside. The other guy.
The other guy. Yeah, Cohagen.
He was also the bad guy in RoboCop.
Yeah.
He plays the same bad guy.
Oh, imagine if RoboCop was Arnold. Like
the corporate evil guy. Yeah.
Imagine they could get Arnold.
He's like
RoboCop.
In a boardroom, like being evil the whole movie. Yeah.
Was that going to happen? Were they not able to get Arnold for RoboCop? Was he already working on Predator or something? That would have been.
Dude, it would have been amazing because the guy they got to play him sucked. Robert Weller. That guy's like just boring.
He never did anything else, right? He never did anything else.
He did a few other things, but nothing really. He's a character actor.
He's around, but he's nothing like.
He's not a big star.
He always was somebody like RoboCop. Yeah.
He was in Screamers, which is I happen to like that movie.
He's in a movie.
The other really good line from Commandos after he drops Sully. The woman asks him, "What'd you do with Sully?" And he says, "I let him go."
Yeah, there you go.
That's funny.
Man, dude, that's the thing, man. The worst thing about later Arnold movies, literally no. Another one that didn't have, like, Collateral Damage had no fucking.
What's Collateral?
No one-liner movie. Don't remember Collateral Damage?
No.
Collateral Damage was the one that was supposed to come out right around 9/11, and they had to, like, cancel it and, like, redo it. Because it's basically like his wife and kids get killed in a terrorist bombing, and it's like Arabs that do it, and he goes through their country and like kills them all.
So they turn it into Nazis instead?
So they turned it into like South American drug dealers.
Ah, as you do.
Instead. And John Leguizamo was like he's like running a cocaine farm in South America.
God.
In the movie.
What about, what about True Lies? What does everyone feel about True Lies? That was a weird one.
Mm-hmm. That was.
I remember the weird Jamie Lee Curtis striptease dance.
Weird because she's like,
you never even got to see your balls though.
Very good. Obviously, you're not a golfer. That's what that line was like. Don't expect it.
What I remember about True Lies, it had Bill Paxton in there as like a car salesman or something.
Hmm. Well, we had Arab terror in that, right?
Yep.
But the ringleader was...
And in order to make it okay that they were, like, brutally stereotyping Arabs, they had one of his sidekicks be, like, a nerdy Arab computer hacker guy.
Right.
It was, like, really just kind of ruined the movie because it was just, I don't like this. This is fucking dumb. That movie is also just dumb.
It's pretty shaky.
I don't like that.
It's like time out. It's like it's in the wrong era. That should have been made in like 1985, but they made it in like 1995.
And it would have been better. Yeah. It's like they were kind of, it just wasn't also very good.
Right.
It just wasn't, I don't know. It was off.
Isn't that the movie where like two Dobermans jump at him and he just grabs them by the head and smashes their heads together and the Dobermans die or whatever. Yeah, like,
here's the other thing. The problem with that is he's a spy. But that's not good. Like, he's not supposed to be a spy. He's supposed to be like ex-military retired guy that goes and straps like the bandoliers back on and shoots a bunch of people.
Yeah, he's like, what's more inconspicuous than like a 300-pound Austrian with a thick accent?
Yeah, it's like, you're not, right? You're not really sneaking anywhere.
I blend
like,
in.
I just don't buy it.
Yeah. I hide in plain sight.
Kindergarten cop. Yeah.
I blend in everywhere. It's like that line from like The Last Crusade. Yeah. It's like you'll never find him.
He'll blend in. He knows every custom from here to
every language, every custom, every
Like, hey, Arnold, help me.
Arnold, he's like, call me stop. Like, what was that movie where he's like speaking Spanish? I can't even remember which one that was. I just remember the lines from the Arnold soundboards back in the day when people still made flash soundboards.
Oh yeah,
who is your daddy? What does he do?
Kindergarten Cop is also a bad movie, but it actually is so fucking funny that like I don't give a shit because it is just hilarious. But also just the idea that he's like an ordinary cop, like I don't buy that either.
Right.
Shut up!
And all the kids start crying.
Total Recall, you can get away with it because it's so far in the future, so you can.
Also, you just don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, you don't give a shit.
All suspension of disbelief is like on the table for Total Recall, as the whole thing is fantastical.
Yeah, yeah. It's just whatever. It's fine. Like the fact that who's that hot chick that beats him up in her yoga pants? Like his wife was that?
No, I think that's Running Man. Isn't it?
Played that.
Isn't it Running Man that beats him up in the yoga pants?
Sharon Stone.
Oh, Sharon Stone.
I was gonna say, man, she's so fucking hot. fucking hot back then, dude. Holy shit. But yeah, that was funny. That's also just never going to happen.
But then his actual love interest is like some
it's some ugly fucking Latinx.
Or whatever
like
the hell
some Latinx. Some Latinx. She's like some Latinx broad. She's the same Latinx broad that was like the sidekick to Robert Duvall in Falling Down. You know, like Robert Duvall.
Oh, yeah, the Mexican girl.
Yeah, the actress was Puerto Rican and Russian Jewish.
Puerto Rican
and Jewish.
Oh, there's a
you don't say.
That reminds me of the aliens.
She's a big Javier Milei voter.
they had that one Jewish girl who was like wearing a Mexican face in Aliens. She's playing Vasquez. What the fuck is the name of that actress?
Wait, what? Mike was going to say what? Did we all miss that? Is that because this is the Free Fag Edition? Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
She's just straight Jewish.
Amy Winehouse?
Amy Winehouse.
I'm joking. She did like black. She was
Jeanette Goldstein.
Jeanette Goldstein. Right.
Jeanette Goldstein, like fucking playing like some Mexican fucking Marine.
Yeah, they have. How come we never get like Latinx complaining about like Jews putting on Latinx face?
Yeah. Where's the article on Spinner
face?
Yeah. Taco face. All right. Speaking of taco face, I want to have some lunch.
Taco face Tuesday.
But on a
that
Friday,
sounds like that could be something like very different. But let's press forward.
Let's take a break and get totally taco faced.
Yeah, sounds good. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Daily Sower.